Morning, turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 24, and we'll be looking at the book of Esther as well. Numbers, chapter 24. Before we get started, let me say this morning that I was sitting there thinking as Ashlyn was singing, you know, God doesn't bless talent. He doesn't bless ability. Does not bless vocals, but God blesses a life. And I'm thankful for those young people, middle-aged people, elder people alike, that lives a life that's set apart, that's sanctified, used by God for His glory. Ashlyn, don't change. Don't compromise. Thank you for the life that you and your family's living before these young people. Numbers chapter number 24. And then we'll be turning to the book of Esther. Here in Numbers chapter 24, Balak summons, he calls for a prophet by the name of Balaam to curse his enemy, God's people, Israel. Balaam gives a prophet, gives a prophecy. And here he gives this prophecy, this prediction, this fact that will come to pass in verse number 17. Balaam says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Balaam, this prophet, he's talking about one that he's going to see. One that he's going to behold, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Notice what Balaam, this prophet, calls this one to come. Notice what he calls our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. We see this word star and this word scepter in the text this morning. It's capitalized. It's referring to someone. It's likening a star, a scepter, naming someone. 12 times in our Bible, we find the word scepter is used, but only once. Only once in your King James Bible, it is capitalized, referring to one that's to come, referring to one that's going to rise out of Israel, referring to our Savior this morning, Jesus Christ. Balaam likens Jesus to a living star, to a living scepter. And I'm interested in that word scepter this morning. A scepter, it's a symbol of many things. It's a symbol of a power. It's a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of rule. It's a symbol of jurisdiction. In days gone by, those kings in Mesopotamia, the kings in Babylon and the Medes and the Persians, all those kings had a scepter. They had the scepter, and if they had the scepter, they were the one that's going to call the shots. They were the one that had all reign and all authority. They had the final authority in all the land. And we see here not only this scepter this morning, it's a symbol of power, but it's a symbol of a person. This scepter said, or the Bible says, this scepter shall rise out of Israel, referring to Jesus Christ. Referring to the one that died on the cross for my sins and for your sins. This person, this scepter, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a symbol of God's power. A symbol of his power. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 24, the Bible says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He is, he was the power of the invisible God. We find Christ when he came. So many years ago, they experienced the power of God. He opened the blinded eyes and caused the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. He spoke life to the dead. He died and he was buried and he ascended back to heaven to his Father whence he came. They saw the power of God in Jesus Christ. We see this scepter this morning. It's a symbol of God's power. It's a symbol of this king's power. It's a symbol of a person, Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want to look at the scepter. The scepter is also a symbol of the pardon and peace of the king. Turn with you, if you will, to Esther chapter number 4. Esther chapter number 4. We'll find this morning this scepter. It's a symbol of the king that grants. The scepter is a symbol of the king that gives and offers peace and pardon. In these 10 chapters, this morning in the book of Esther, you'll find that God's name is never mentioned. God's name is never spoke of. It's never read, it's never mentioned in the entire book of Esther. But although God's name is not mentioned, on every page and in every chapter, you'll see God at work. You'll see God moving, you'll see God guiding, you'll see God leading a group of people that stayed in captivity when they were allowed to return back to the homeland. God leading them and guiding them that did not want to be led. You know, today in today's society, in the day and the hour and the age that we live in, it's not popular to speak the name of Jesus. It's not politically correct in the social norm. But I thank God there's still an unseen hand that's leading, guiding, and directing God's people all along. I think about my life before I was saved. I can look back in that time when I had no thought of God and I had no care of God or wanted God in my life. He was there all the way, leading and guiding and moving, arranging things in my life. And I bless his name this morning. Even though God's not mentioned in Esther, even though he's not mentioned in these pages, in these 10 chapters, you can find God in Esther. Esther's name means a star. It means a bright, shining star. You look at Esther's testimony. You look at her life, at her conduct, at her sweet spirit. You'll find God all in Esther. She's a bright star, a bright, shining light in a dark and time that she lived in. We see God in Esther this morning. But we also see Jesus in the scepter. In Numbers chapter number 24, he's already referred to as the scepter that's going to rise out of Israel. Esther chapter number 24, or chapter 4. Esther is now the king, or queen. She's the queen to one called Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, he had rule over the land. He was a mighty king. He was a powerful king. He was a great king. He ruled over a vast land, a modern day Turkey, Lebanon, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, parts of Israel. He ruled over this great, great landscape, a powerful king. Matter of fact, Ahasuerus' name means the High Father. He's the king that's sitting on the throne. And Esther is now the queen. And Ahasuerus, he signs a law, he signs a decree, and it says that all the Jews must die. All the Jews in the land must die. They will perish, not knowing that his very queen Esther is a Jew. Chapter 4, verse number 8. The Bible says, also, he gave them a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to shew it unto Esther and declare it unto her, unto the king, to make supplication unto him and to make a request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake to Hatak and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. Esther is the queen. She's going to die. She's going to perish because of the decree, because of the law that was signed. All the Jews in the land is going to die, are going to perish. They've been sentenced to death. And now Mordecai comes to Esther and asks Esther to go before the king, to go have audience before the king and make a request, make a supplication for her and on behalf of the others. But we see here, she can't go before the king unless she's been invited. I want to say, number one, this scepter this morning, it offers a connection. Remember, Jesus is the scepter. He's referred to as the scepter that's going to rise out of Israel. And unless there's a connection between Esther and the king, she will die. We just read, no one can come before the king, not even the queen. Nobody can have contact with the king. Nobody can come face to face with him. Nobody can have audience with him. No one can speak with him unless there is a connection, unless there's a mediator, unless there's something to bridge the gap between the one standing before the king. This king we find this morning, he has to extend something. He has to give something. He has to rise something for Esther to come before him. This king we find, he's not accessible. He's not approachable. He cannot be approached to unless there is a connection. The only way that Esther could come to this king is if something was given to her, something was extended to her, something was raised to her, and without her something being extended, Esther would die. I think of Moses this morning. Moses wanted to see God in all of his glory. And God told Moses, Moses, you cannot see me. You cannot approach me. You can't see my holiness. You can't see my righteousness. No man can see me and live, for I am the King of all glory. Several weeks ago, we preached on the thought, the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. That verse goes on to say, who dwells in the light, with which no man can approach unto. This morning, you and I, no one here can approach the King, the great High Father, in all of his glory, unless there's a connection given to one of us. I'm talking about a high, holy God, a righteous God that sinners like me and sinners like you just can't get to. We find that we can't approach him. We can't go to him. We can't reach him. We can't speak to him. We can't have audience with him. This high and holy God, righteous God, pure God, just God, a God that no man can approach. You say, preacher, if we can't approach a king, this great high father, how are we going to get to him? You see, we can't talk to him or enter his presence. There has to be a connection that is established. Established. Unless he holds something out. Unless he extends something our way. Unless he reaches something to you and I to fill that void, to bridge that gap. Let me say, some 2,000 years ago, on the cross of Calvary, God, the High Father, this righteous King, he lifted up, he extended, he raised his darling son, Jesus Christ, the scepter, so all man can have a connection. Jesus is the scepter. God extended himself. God extended his son. He reached out his son. Because of his son, because of his sacrifice, because of his death, because of his resurrection, there's been a connection that's been established. Without this connection, we cannot have audience with the king. So when man could not get to God, God extended his son. God, what about a God? God extending God to a godless people so you and I can have a connection. That's why we do this morning what we do. That's why we preach about Jesus. That's why we sing about Jesus. That's why we testify about Jesus. That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name, because he's the only connection we have between sinful man and a righteous God. The Bible says there is none other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. Listen, the Bible says also, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. This king of Sherez, he had to extend something to Esther. He had to offer something to Esther. He had to lift something to Esther for her to approach him, for her to have audience with him. God just didn't extend the scepter, but he extended himself to you and I. Let me say, Jesus was not just a man, but he was God. The Bible also says that he purchased the church. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. How did he purchase the church? With his own blood. Without this scepter this morning, without this blood this morning, you and I have no connection to this righteous King, this high Father, this holy God. Let me say, number one, this scepter, it establishes a connection. But this scepter, it also ends condemnation. We just read in verse number 11, Esther says, I can't go before the king. I can't have audience with the king. I can't make my supplication, my request known unto the king unless he extends something out to me. You see, Esther, she was condemned. Esther was to perish. Esther was going to die, and all the race, all the Jews were going to perish as well. Verse number 14. Let's go back up to verse number 11. It says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. Verse number 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai tells Esther, Esther, you're condemned already. Esther, you're going to die. Esther, your family's condemned. The Jews are condemned. But maybe, just maybe, if you won't hold your peace, if you'll go before the king, if this king will extend that golden scepter, you're put here for such a time as this. There's a reason you're here, Esther. There's a purpose you're here, Esther. I was thinking this morning here at church, I don't know the reason you came. I don't know why you showed up this morning. Maybe you're a member and you come every service. Maybe you're a young person. You come because your parents brings you and makes you come. Maybe you're a first-time visitor. I don't know the reason you're here this morning, but it could be. You could be at the house of God this morning for such a time as this to have the opportunity to come before the king that'll extend the scepter out to you so you can have a connection to God and have your condemnation removed. We find it ends condemnation for such a time as this. This king will extend this scepter. It's going to end her condemnation. Look at chapter 5, verse number 2. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Esther goes before the king. finds favor in his sight. Let me say this morning, that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me despite my sin, despite my ways, despite my iniquities, my faults and my flaws and my failures. This King, High, Holy Father, full of grace, mercy, and truth, he loved me anyway. I found favor in his sight. I can understand. I understand completely why he found favor in Esther. In chapter number 2, Esther's dressed nicely. She's robed in the royal apparel. I mean, she's beautiful. She smells nice, has a lovely spirit, has a great countenance. But that was not me. That was not you. In the eyes of God, we had the stench of sin on our soul. We were clothed in our unrighteousness. We had nothing good to offer God. We had the mark of condemnation upon our soul. Nothing in my life merits into the love of God, the salvation of God, the blessings of God. But let me say, I got the same as Esther got. I found favor in his sight. I bless his name this morning. Verse number 5, chapter 2, it says, "And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." She grabs a hold. She lays a hold. She touches the scepter that gives her access to the king, that removes her condemnation. Now he's held out this golden scepter, pleased that she was in his presence. Verse number 3. It says, "And the king, and then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given to thee to half of the kingdom." Esther finds favor in the king's sight. He gives the connection, the golden scepter, his son, Jesus Christ. And he asked Esther, what's your request? What do you want from me, Esther? What a blessing that is this morning to know that the God of all glory loves us, cares about us enough, that wants to hear from us, that wants to commune with us. What a privilege. I mean, what a blessing that is. The God himself wants to hear your prayers this morning. What was her request? She has favor in his sight. He's held out the scepter. She has access to the king. We find her request in chapter number 7. Chapter number 7, verse number 2. It says, "And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed." Esther, who was condemned, Esther, who had no connection to this king, now is offering and able to give her request and petitions. Notice in verse number 3, it says, "Then Esther, the queen, answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me a petition and my people at my request. For we are sold and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish." That was her condemnation. He's asking her for a quest. And she said, "O king, I'm to be destroyed." That's what Paul said. Paul said we were a debtor to our sin. He said that, like Esther in verse 2, we're to be destroyed, we're to be slain, we're to perish. But I'm thankful this morning that God will extend that scepter so you and I can have access to him. We find him in chapter number 8. Now her condemnation is removed. She's established a connection because of the scepter. In verse number 4, it says, "Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king." This condemnation that once was on Esther's life has now been pardoned. And the only way this righteous God, this holy God and his righteous son is to approach him is through the scepter. Thinking about Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. She touched the scepter. She was condemned. Her people's condemned. She comes before the king. He holds out the scepter, the one that Balaam said is a scepter shall rise out of Israel, Jesus Christ, that establishes that connection. And she touches the scepter. There's a song we sing. Since I've met this blessed Savior, since he's cleansed me and made me whole, I'll never cease to praise him. I'll shout while eternity rolls. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Esther comes before the king and touches the scepter. Her condemnation is removed. This morning, as we come before the king, the only way we can come before him is if he extends out this scepter, his son, to you and I. You know, what a fool Esther would have been if she had come before this great high king, knowing she's been told that if you come before him without that scepter being raised, you'll die. What a fool she would have been if he had held out that scepter and put her hands behind her back and says, no, king, I'm fine. No, king, I've been dressed in my royal apparel. No, king, I live in your court. I live in the palace. I come to your house every day. No, king, I'm trusting my works or I'm trusting my good deeds. What a fool she'd have been when it's decreed that the only way she could come to this king if he extends the scepter. You know, this morning, I believe on that great white throne judgment day, there'll be millions and millions that will realize that they held on, they touched, and they laid hold to the wrong thing. They'll say, Lord, I laid hold on to my baptism. I touched and laid hold of my good deeds, the golden rule. I laid hold and grabbed on to the church membership, or I held on to my own righteousness. And God's saying, you knew. You knew the only thing you had to touch, the only thing you had to grab hold of was the scepter, my son, Jesus Christ. This scepter this morning, it offers us a connection to the king. The scepter, it offers us an end of our condemnation. But let me say lastly, this scepter this morning, it'll extend communion. She comes before the king. She touches the scepter. She's now welcome. Her condemnation has been pardoned. Esther's safe. Esther's saved. She comes before the king now, not on her own behalf, but now on the behalf of others. Look at verse number 4, chapter number 8. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in thy sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in thy eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's providences. We see now Esther, I believe she's enjoying this pardon. She knows that her condemnation's gone. She's touched the scepter. She has favor, found grace in the eyes of the king. But now she doesn't come in fear for her own life. But notice what she's doing. She's requesting on behalf of the others. You know, the first time she came before the king, just like me, she was probably trembling. Didn't know if she'd be welcome. Didn't know if he'd hear her plea. Didn't know if he would hear her request. But now we find in these verses, she comes boldly before the king. She's no longer afraid. She's been accepted by the king. And she's requesting on behalf of the others. Is that not what Hebrews 4 says? Let seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. She's not worried anymore. She's not scared anymore. She's not trembling anymore. She knows the king loves her. She knows the king's extended the scepter. She's touched the scepter. And now she goes to the king and says, I have one more request. There's still a group of people that's going to perish, that's going to die, that's going to be put to death by the man named Haman. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us this morning? 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He goes on to say, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. All because of the scepter. The king granted and extended and lifting the scepter to Esther. She knows her condemnation's past. She knows she's safe, sealed, and secure. Now she's come boldly to the throne, asking the king through the touch of the scepter to hear her request, to ask him to save her people. I wonder this morning, since you've touched the scepter, since you've been saved, since you've had your condemnation removed, when's the last time you've touched the scepter on the behalf of others? Remember in Numbers chapter 24, verse number 17, Balaam said, there's a star that's going to come out of Jacob. There's a scepter that's going to rise out of Israel. Did I tell you this morning that Jesus is the scepter? He's the only way we can get to God the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the scepter. Let's stand this morning. Ashlyn, do you have a song you can sing or play, whatever the Lord leads you? No doubt this morning, congregation this size, there may be some here that's never touched the scepter. You've tried to have audience with the king. You try to come before the king on your own works, own righteous. God said the only way we can come to him is through the scepter, through his son, Jesus Christ. This altar is open this morning. If you want to come and pray on behalf of others, behalf of your family, touch the scepter on their behalf, whatever your need is, this altar is open.
Where I am today and where he's brought me from. Just a crippled man who had lost all hope with no strength to carry on. Then one day I met a king who invited me inside. And I didn't know then at his table I'd dine for the rest of my life. I remember Lodibar. I remember a broken heart. I remember the emptiness and loneliness that tore my life apart. the King. I remember Lodebar. As I look back on my life, all the things I have done, just a sinner on my way to hell, trying to make it on my of this man, I would have eternal life. I remember Lodebar. I remember my broken heart. I remember the emptiness and loneliness that tore my life apart.
We all can remember when we were in Lodebar, a place of no pasture, no bread, crippled, lame. But here comes Ziba, the type of the Holy Ghost, to usher us to the King's presence. Do you remember when you're in Lodebar? Now you're a child of the King. I bless his name this morning. I thank Ashlyn and her family. I believe there's some cousins. Is that right? It came with her all the way from DeLonghi, Georgia. Is that near Commerce? Okay. Pretty close, I guess. Don't know exactly where DeLonghi, Georgia is. I know where Commerce is because that's the exit where all the outlets is. My wife wants to stop to. So.